Today, it's Rock 50 and a Rock 50 radio tribute to Ton Mastry. Ton was born on August 20th, 1954, and passed on October 2nd, 2007. While she was here, she rocked.
But the energy is still there. The fun is still there. We have a real sense of responsibility, and we're taxpayers, and in fact, are very prominent in the business world. We are also heavy metal rockers, and we love it.
Hello, this is Lemmy from Motorhead. You know, the ugly ones. And you're getting off, apparently, with the leather non-torn mastery on Pure Rock 105.5 KNAC. I only wish you could see what she's dressed in right now.
Well, hello. I'm Ton Mastry, the Leather Nun from KNAC Radio. No one else is able to come to the phone right now. They're just a little tied up. You've probably called to take your aggressions out on them anyway. Perhaps I can persuade you to take them out on me. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Talk to me.
FM Radio's problem child.
Hey!
Pure Rock 105.5 KNAC.
By the way, you're in tune with Pure Rock 105.5 KNAC Long Beach, Los Angeles. We're live at Tower Records on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. In honor of Skyscraper, David Lee Roth's brand new album. Okay, David is in position. He's gearing up and lowering himself, making sure that all the ropes are secure. Whoa, he's leaning back at a 90-degree angle from the side of the building and salutes the crowd with a grand grin on his face. The guy is a top.
Hi, this is David Lee Roth. Don't touch that dial because you are listening to the loudest station in the nation, baby. 105.5 No Jive KNAC Long Beach, Los Angeles.
We're here live in Moscow broadcasting via satellite. I'm Ton Mastry, your host for the next 90 minutes of insanity. Speaking of insane, let's talk to Skid Row's Rachel about the fact that you're opening the show for 140,000 crazy Russian fans 2 days in a row. Are you shaking in your boots, buddy?
To open something this big is pretty cool. I just hope we don't mess it up for everyone else because we're a little better.
Ton Mastry here with Cuss and Rudolph, as I said, in case you just tuned in from Scorpions. KNAC live in the studios with three very handsome young genitals gentlemen. No, it's Judas Priest on Pure Rock KNAC 105.5 FM, the hardest rocking station in the nation.
Ton Mastry.
Thanks, Brent. I just wanted to say that I've always felt that I'll be rocking till I die, and I'm not dead yet. So somewhere in L.A., sometime in the near future, there's going to be a hard rocking station again, and I hope that I'm a part of it, if not in charge of it. So we'll be back.
I was fortunate enough to be able to work with Ton at the premier L.A. heavy metal radio station, 105.5 KNAC FM. I did the Pure Rock Talkback show at KNAC, and as you will hear later, my first encounter with Ton was a memorable one. Ton came to KNAC shortly after the station became L.A.'s first heavy metal station. It was program director Jimmy Christopher that hired Ton at a recent on-air reunion. KNAC personalities Gonzo Gregg and Craig Williams recalled Ton's first day on the air at KNAC.
Jimmy Christopher, God bless him, had a lot on his plate. He forgot to tell the midday girl that Ton was replacing that she didn't work there anymore.
Wow! I heard that story.
Yeah, so Ton had come in, I think, the first time ever to early for her show, because it was like her first day. And had sat down in the chair and was is ready to start rocking when the other girl walked in. And there was a rather uncomfortable moment at that point. And I guess it got all worked out. I don't remember any bloodshed, but
yeah,
it was just...
Craig Williams remembers that.
Yeah, because
okay,
I was...
Do I have that right, Craig?
Yeah, because I was sitting there with Ton, and unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that the girl had not gotten fired yet, but I was sitting there with Ton just kind of showing her what does what.
Mm-hmm.
And... lo and behold, this lady walks in, and
Right. Awkward
silence, and then there's Jimmy going, can I have a word with you for just a second? I just turned to Ton, I said...
Absolutely brilliant radio moment.
I just said, close the door, Ton, there's going to be some stuff happening out there.
And this is how professional we are, and nobody knows what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to love it here.
Right. God, just amazing.
That's right. Ton, you'll know when you're fired when you walk in and...
Your replacement's there.
That's right.
I'd like to tell you the old bit. It's like, you know, it's, I went to do my job and now there's somebody else doing it.
That happens.
KNAC Morning Man, Thrasher.
I remember when I was hired as Thrasher, I wasn't even really named Thrasher yet. I had moved out here early 86, I think, or mid 86. And we went to, with a friend out in Simi Valley, of all places. And I had to get in the car and drive probably about 45 minutes in order to pick up the station signal, south, in other words.
Right.
And it was midday, and turned it on and heard the most wonderful, literally, best female rock radio voice I think I'd ever heard. I was just literally taken back by that. And not to really overdo it, but it's quite true.
She had a sexy voice.
She had a great voice.
Yeah.
And she had developed this character, which you could hear, and having had some acting experience, realized, you know, what she was doing with it. And it was incredibly effective. Now, this is not to say that she was not the best disc jockey in the world. I'm not going to run that by you.
When you say incredibly effective, well, how do you mean that? I mean, what exactly were you doing
how
while you were listening?
How many tissues did you go through during a ton
well,
shift?
I was driving one-handed, and, you know. But I think everybody knows what I mean, who ever heard that voice. You know, when she said, this is the leather nun, you just bought it, man. You bought into it.
Yeah.
She was just great at it.
That girl, just a cool, cool girl. Now, baby, sweeter than raw brown sugar. Never mind, who's the fancy sugar? She says she wants to have a small head rocker. One smile, don't it drive you insane? My baby.
KNAC Air Personality, The Animal, Anna Lee.
I just wanted to say a few things about Ton. And when I first started at KNAC, I know you're going to find it hard to believe, but I was kind of shy and kind of intimidated by going up on stage and dealing with all the artists that we used to deal with. And she kind of really just helped me learn how to take it by the huevos.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And just kind of, you know, get out there and be yourself and relate to the artists on a personal level, just like they're one of us, you know. And I always remembered her for that, being sort of, you know, just a mentor in a way to me.
I often wondered about that, you know, because that, gee whiz, as masculine a world as radio is anyway, and to come into, you know, that hard rock, heavy metal world, which is, you know, totally male-dominated, you know, it's tough. If you, you know, you got to be you did good, Kit, I'm telling you. You did.
Well, I had to take the lead from her on how to dress as well.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I really didn't own a lot of leather at that point, but bought a couple of leather items to half as cool as the leather nun, and you know, so I thank her for that.
KNAC van driver and morning show co-host Jack Trash.
My favorite Tom memory will have to be when I decided that I was going to make this enormous mistake in my life and become in radio. I called her, and she was the one who sent me to the place where I needed to go to get my radio training that I was supposed to do for about 6 months, and it ended up being about 3 days because I ended up getting hired on there after about 3 days of that, so I quit there. And then probably the time when she was interviewing, I think it was David Coverdale.
Oh.
And she really didn't control herself very well that day.
No. You could hear the panties sliding down the thigh.
Exactly. Those are probably my two favorite Tom memories.
Down they went.
Known better than to let you go alone. It's times like these can make it on my own. Wasted days and sleepless nights, and I can't wait to see you again. I finally spent my time.
KNAC General Manager Gary Price, Production Guru Stu, and Program Director Brian Schock talk about one of Ton's obsessions.
I remember a little story about Ton Mastery, who was, as we all know, a dynamic personality. All the acts loved her, and she always had a million things going on at once. But she had one bad habit, and that was to use the hotline for So I'd go in and I'd say, "Ton, listen, don't use the hotline while you're on your shift, okay? You can have any phone, any office you want, 24 hours a day, except the 4 hours you're on the air. Please concentrate on your show." "Oh, yeah, right, Gary, you got it, you got it, no problem." The next day, all day on the hotline. I told three program directors, "Please, break her of that habit." And they just look at me like they're staring at a wall. Yeah. So I said, "Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change the hotline number and don't tell her what it is." So I changed the hotline number. 2 days later, she's on the hotline.
She got it. Yep.
I changed the number three times, and finally I gave up. She was a determined girl.
She was talking to one person that entire time, Gary.
Is that right?
Punky Peru.
Oh, you think?
Punky. Yeah, it was her boyfriend,
that
Punky.
That was her boyfriend, yeah. Hey, Gary, of course you knew that she used to...
We know that because she had those conversations at least one or two times on the air because she forgot to close the mic, and she'd just pick up. In fact, one time, we were doing something, and there was an album we were playing. That was there was a Guns N' Roses song on this compilation, but there was a bunch of other stuff on there,
too. Here we go. This is the famous story.
And no, this isn't that one.
I think it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there was this odd song playing, and everybody's kind of, doing their thing, and all of a sudden, I look at him like, "Hey, what is that?" Because it's been going on for a minute or two, and, something in the back of my head telling me, "I don't know this song," and it's not in the format. We all stop, and it's like a Ringo Starr song
something.
"Is this exactly the story? Oh, this is that story?" And we're like, "What is going on?" We all kind of look down the hall into, and it's like looking into a TV screen. The way the window to the control room was positioned down the hall, and there's Ton
on the phone.
"Ton, we're waving around, we're arms. Ton, wrong. What? Huh? What? Oh shit! Hold on, gotta go. Click." Dead air, recue the track. And
there's a follow up to that story, which Brian will.
I got a hold of a poster of Ringo Starr and signed the thing. "Thanks for playing my song."
That was
we hung it up in the studio.
Black Sabbath drummer Bill Ward.
He's fantastic. We did real good interviews, and she was always supportive. She was very supportive of my new material. We had, when we bought out Ward One along the way, Ton really liked that, and she supported that and gave it a lot of airplay. In fact, so much so that one of the tracks, "Bombers Can Open Bombays," I think it went to number two in like 3 days on KNAC's charts. It was on high rotation. But more than that, she's like a rock and roll spirit, she's great.
The things you do, it's up to you.
KNAC Air Personality, Remy the Max Maxwell.
I met Ton briefly at like Exposure 54 in 90 or 91 or something, but the main time, the first time that I met her was at the last day of KNAC, and then I ended up here in 97. Ton had gotten fired from Portland. She heard that I was here, and we had never really met. The station I was working at here asked me, like, what do you think of Ton Mashey? I'm like, we hire her now, which they did. She was out here a year later, and 98 till now. I mean, she's become like my sister. We were like the best of friends.
Cool.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. You know, and that's an interesting story. I'll tell you one quickly. She gave me probably the best piece of life-changing advice I've ever gotten. I was in the production room and just losing it because I couldn't get done what I wanted to get done, and I turned with my hand and bashed into that cart rack. Do you know that circular cart rack that spun there?
Yeah.
Stu, did you ever punch anything at the station? You wouldn't know what I'm talking about, would you? So, at any rate, I mangled that cart rack.
Thanks.
And bent the thing up, you know. And, you know, I tried to bend it back down, and I just forgot about it. You know, I had a temper. Bang! It would just go off like that. So, the next day, Jimmy Christopher brings me in. He drags me into the production room. He points to that, and he says, you know, basically, don't do anything like that again, or you're out of here. And I said, of course, and I felt like a complete jerk. Got back into the control room to do my show either the next day or whenever it was. Ton comes in. Hi, hello, honey. She said, you know, I used to get very angry like that, but I realized the only person I was hurting was myself.
Aww.
I'm serious. I'm serious. And I thought for a second, is she kidding me? She's using that radio voice. But she wasn't. And after, you know, dense thrash pie lets that sink in, I realized she's absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
And I had, believe it or not, I've never had a temper tantrum like that since.
I wish she would have given me that advice.
Thinking the same thing over here.
You missed the memo, Brian.
Shed a tear because I'm missing you. I'm still all right to smile. Girl, I think about you every day now. Was a time when I wasn't sure, but you set my mind at ease. There is no doubt you're in my heart now. Said, woman, take it slow, it'll work itself out fine. All we need is just a little patience. Said, sugar, make it slow, and we'll come together fine. All we need is just a I can't have you right now. I'll wait, dear. Sometimes I get so tense, but I can't speed up the time. But you know, love, there's one more thing to consider. Said woman, take it slow, things will be just fine. You and I'll just use a little patience. Said sugar, take the time, 'cause the lights are shining bright. You and I've got what it takes to make it. We won't fake it. Oh, I'll never break it, 'cause I can't take it.
Robbie Raubvogel, a fan of the Leather Nun, partnered with Ton's sister Cara, where they both became prime movers in trying to secure a liver transplant for Ton. Robbie's band, Metal Knights, headlined the only benefit show that was held for Ton before she passed.
I used to be in radio, and that's how I met Ton.
Right.
Back in the 90s, Ton was very helpful to me when I was trying to break into the L.A. market. So Ton was very helpful to me back in those days, in like 93. And after KNAC kind of went off the air, I had just no want to do it anymore because the music had changed so much. And I said, I got to do something else. So I got into television. When I came out of my transplant, I mean, there was years there where I just couldn't work. You know, I had to quit working in like around 2000. And 2 weeks out of my transplant, I met Rudy Sarzo. And I told him what I'd just been through. He understood. We both had the passion for music and visual effects. One day, he called up and he said, Robbie, do you remember Ton? And I said, of course I do. And he goes, I just got contacted by her sister, Kara, that she's in liver failure. You know, she needs a liver. She's got hep C. She's going through the exact same thing you went through. You know, we're connected with Donate Life now. What can we do?
Right.
And you know the process that they need to go through. And you know, Kara and Ton did not know really anything at that time about what they were facing.
Right.
They just knew she was sick. She had to quit her job at Sirius. And things weren't going good.
Right.
So that's how I became involved with them.
KNAC music director Michael Davies remembers a particular Sunday morning in October of 1989.
She used to do a Sunday morning, like I think you arrived before her, and then she would come on at like 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. And I tune in one morning, it's like 9:45, and there's dead air. And I'm thinking, you know, what the hell happened? And I call the station, call the hotline. There's no answer. And I live in Long Beach, so I'm thinking about driving down there. And I call again, and finally she answers. And I said, Ton, what happened? She said, I'm hungover. I was in the bathroom throwing up.
Yeah, I remember that.
I can add to that story. That was my very first day on the air of Pure Rock Talkback. And Ton came in. We did a crossover. She seemed all right to me. She was very interested. She interviewed me, and she was very cordial, very nice.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I heard all hell broke loose.
After you left, she went to the bathroom and didn't come back for a while.
You know, I wasn't going to tell that story till she started feeling better, but you just blew it. So.
Oh no, that's great. I think it's perfect.
Yeah. The final clip for this hour is from that morning. As you will hear, there is no indication of any problem as she welcomes me to the KNAC family. Ton partied like and with rock stars, but when the mic opened, she was a broadcaster. The clip starts as I end a call with the sponsor of a motorcycle love ride that is still held yearly in Southern California.
I urge anybody that buys these, you know, rocket ship motorcycles that don't really belong in the street. I mean, you don't need to go 120 miles to be able to get around in the cities of L.A. They're really designed for race courses to give themselves the benefit of this course and to learn the proper procedures in handling a motorcycle.
Do you have any sort of safety classes that go on at your shop?
No.
That people could get involved with?
We're not really licensed to conduct any classes as such, but we do urge, when we have the phone numbers, there's a toll-free phone number that you can call, and they'll give you the nearest Motorcycle Safety Foundation course nearest you, which also saves money on your insurance cost. Most insurance companies offer a 10% premium discount for
Oliver, you sound
so
sleepy.
Participated in these courses because they know that they stand a better chance of making it through a possible accident.
Oliver, this is Ton Mastery from KNAC. I'd like to just say hello. Good morning, Oliver. I'm Ton. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm just kind of taking over here pretty quickly, so I just wanted to participate a little bit in this conversation because I'm not a biker, but I'm a fan of motorcycles, certainly, and I know that our listeners are, you know, a lot of them have bikes too, but for those of us who don't have motorcycles, how do we participate? How can we contribute some money to the muscular dystrophy cause or even be part of this concert without having a bike and going part of, you know, being part of this cruise?
Well, the coming out there on a bike is a recommended
oh darn it,
don't have a motorcycle.
No, I don't.
Bad people who've come out registered in Glendale
at your shop there?
Shop, and have gone on the ride in their automobile.
Oh, okay. And then we can come out and enjoy the music, and if we can't go, then where do we send some money, honey?
Okay. Send it to me.
Oh, you're easy. Now, what's that address again, please?
You can send the money or donations, if you're not going, directly to the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Okay.
Love Ride.
Love Ride.
And the address there is 18455 Burbank Boulevard.
Okay.
Suite 103. Tarzana.
Tarzana.
91356.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah, and yeah, you can participate in a car, but it's not as much fun.
Well, I can imagine. You got room on the back of your bike?
Well, I don't, but there are 6,000 people out there, and I'm sure somebody will.
I'm sure we can find Tana, right?
All right, now we're talking. Good morning. I'm a maniac, too. Hey, you know, I really appreciate you calling up. I was wondering if you were going to call, and I was driving to work going, this poor guy, Michael, is Oliver going to call or not? What are you doing up this time of day?
Oh, I basically set my alarm clock.
You're in bed, aren't you?
I just just before I called.
Oh, I know, it's tough. Well, I don't have any other questions. You've really solved my dilemma, and thank you very much. One way or another, I'd like to be there, at least in spirit, if not physically. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Great, Oliver. Thank you for calling in this morning and checking with us, and thank you for being involved in such an important event, something that everyone can get behind, a positive thing for motorcycle people, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me, and hopefully we managed to get a couple of people interested in going on this fun ride.
I'll tell you what, why don't you check back with us afterwards and let us know how you did.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Ton is here.
Yeah, I bet you're happy too. You can go home and sleep now, huh, Michael?
Yes.
Actually, I wanted to interview you a little bit because nobody knows you. You know, this is your second week here.
Well, I appreciate that.
So you sound like you're from Southern California.
Yes.
Now,
born and raised.
Yeah, so you are a rocker from a long time back.
Yeah, I've listened to this station back when Marconi ran it, I think.
You mean like the political guy?
Yeah, right.
Oh,
yeah. I'm a rocker.
Yeah, and I know that I met you just before you actually started on the air here in the offices.
Right.
You're like a really nice guy.
Well, thank you.
And it's hard to get up on Sunday morning, and by golly, I hope these people are more appreciative of the fact that you crawl out of bed and get in here, because this is a chance actually for people to enjoy, you know, the fact that they can let it out and yell and scream. And you know what I'm worried about? You mentioned about how people can, the police, I guess, can point at you and then tell if you're drunk or sober.
Right, there's a sensor.
Really? What in the heck? I didn't hear about this.
Okay.
I know that we're watched on the freeways. They videotape us on the freeways. I think that's pretty shocking in itself.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, I went to traffic school 2 weeks ago. I learned.
Aha.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
That's another subject.
Yeah. No, what they've got is they've got a sensor-detecting device that all I need to do is point it at the open window and they can tell if there's alcohol.
Whoa, dude. Well, I mean, it's good that, you know, we don't want people to drink and drive, but
right.
That is pretty intense, isn't it? What else
Well,
can tell?
The American Civil Liberties Union say it's a breach of the Fourth Amendment, but the CHP claims that it doesn't really infringe on constitutional guarantees because it's just a tool that they use.
Sure, but what else do they really know when they point those things at us? I mean, I'm here to tell you. Yeah, well, we can be paranoid and we can wonder. But the thing is, do people really realize, I'm not making this up, we are being videotaped on the 405.
That I'm not aware of.
See cameras, and I've seen them on the 605, too. They're actually video cameras like you see when you walk into a bank. I mean, they're really obvious once you notice them. They're cylinder-shaped, metallic in color, well, actually kind of a gray tone that sort of blends in with the overpass. So look at the overpass as you're driving under it.
So what are they looking at? That's
they're
the question.
They're pointed in different angles. They're trying to see if you're speeding, if there's an accident, you know, to determine who's at fault, that
right.
kind of stuff. But basically, I mean, it was not able to be used in court recently because a woman was caught speeding and they showed it and they mailed the photo to her home.
Right.
And her husband saw the photo, and she was not with her husband in that car.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, it's kind of a touchy situation.
Look out. So you're up awful early for what you're normally here in the afternoons.
I'm doing Mary the Maniac a favor. I'm making it very well known. I usually work on Saturday afternoons. I don't
if
mind.
If she doesn't know it,
she's going
she
to.
Knows it now.
Yeah, she couldn't work today, so I was asked to work, and I don't mind. I'll crawl out of bed and rock any time. You better believe it.
All right, and it is a pure walk.
Yeah, it's a pure walk weekend.
pure rock weekend.
I like walk food.
Yeah,
stir fried, sure.
Well, you will be up here next.
Okay.
It looks like.
Yeah, hit a record. Let's get a break, baby.
Okay, thanks, Ton.
Right.
We'll see y'all next week.
Yeah.
On Pure Rock Talk Back.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. I think that really one of the things I'll never forget is that this audience that we have had all these years has been the most exciting, most loyal, and most enthusiastic audience. I've been at a lot of stations around town, as you know. And I'm telling you, the KNAC followers are the best, and I'm going to miss them the most, I think.
You got to get closer to that microphone.
Yeah.
All right. But really, the audience is the one that I'll never forget. So, love you guys. Right. Mwah.